Rob reading for us from Romans chapter 8. These were some of the last verses that Peter ever heard, read to him by another friend, Peter, who's here with us today. And they were very precious to our Peter Dalladay. And the message contained in these verses brings tremendous comfort to every believing heart at this time of loss. Because here in these verses, we are assured that nothing will be able to separate the Christian believer from the love of God, not even death itself. And since Peter lived as a Christian believer and died as a Christian believer, we can know for sure that he has never and will never be separated from the love of God. And that is a tremendous comfort as we grieve his loss. We might ask ourselves, how can we be so sure that a man who is now no longer with us cannot be separated from the love of God? That is a big, bold claim to make. It's posed here in verse 35 when Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And a number of possibilities are raised. Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of these things separate us from the love of God? Paul concludes, no. The answer is no, and it's very emphatic. There is nothing that can separate the believer from the love of God. And he then gives us another list. Neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is an exhaustive list. It's an emphatic statement, and it is a massive claim. How can we be so sure that it's true? Well, I can certainly tell you this much. Peter himself had no doubts. Just a few days before he died, I had the privilege of being with him. And I was talking with him. I was doing 99% of the talking. He really wasn't able to speak very much at all. And we were talking about his troubles, we were talking about his difficulties, his pain. He was clearly in an enormous amount of pain. And I said to Peter, this is a hard trial. This is a hard trial. How can you be so sure that everything's going to be okay? Are you really confident that God is still loving you and looking after you? And then he spoke. And he said to me, I remember his words, I'll never forget his words, because it was Peter all over. He said, "I've got no problem with that," he said to me. That was it. "I've got no problem with that." His confidence in God right to the end was absolutely sure. And this confidence in the love of God is clear to any of us who knew him in those last 10 years of his life. He could not hear enough about this love that God had for him. He couldn't believe that God would love him. And he enjoyed hearing the message so much. Those of you who know the church here, every Wednesday, we have a repeat of the same message in the afternoon and in the evening. And when Peter was converted, he used to come twice on a Wednesday. And when he was asked one Wednesday evening, "Peter, weren't you here this morning? You know, didn't you?" Oh, he said, "Yeah, I just want to get it again." It was exactly the same message. He couldn't hear enough about it. And he couldn't talk enough about this love. Anybody, again, who knew Peter knew that he liked to talk. He was a real conversationalist. And he always had the time of day for you, didn't he, Peter? He was good company. And he just used to love chatting with us here in the church endlessly about God, about the love of God, about the message of the Bible, and we all remember that. And as has been mentioned, Peter was musical. He was very musical. At the time when he first started coming to the church, I was particularly grateful for Peter because we weren't all that good at singing as a church. I think we've improved a bit since in the last 10 years. But at that time, we were particularly weak on the singing front. And when Peter arrived, we were glad of his voice. And he really did boom out those hymns, such as the ones, one we've just sung and the one we'll sing at the end. And it was from a heart full of thankfulness to God for this love that God had showed him. In those final difficult months of his life, yes, you could still chat with Peter about the cricket. And Peter and I shared a love of cricket. In fact, it was one of the first things we got chatting about before Peter became a Christian. We'd chat endlessly about the cricket. And he knew as much detail as I did. But, you know, as time went on, his interest in cricket faded. Until right at the end, really, he wasn't interested in it at all. But he was always interested in hearing about the love of God. And he would always hear the message that came from the Bible. It comforted him so much. He was never one to miss out on an opportunity to share a dry joke. He had a very dry sense of humour, did Peter. And even towards the end, he had that wry smile. And again, if you remember Peter, you'll know about the smile. But truth be told, nothing would light up Peter's face like talking about the love of God. He just could never get over it, that God would love him. And even when he could certainly no longer sing, and towards the end, as we've said, could barely talk, he wanted us to know that the love of God was his great hope, his great confidence, his great assurance in life and in death. So we come back to our question, how can a person like Peter be so certain that the love of God will never fail? How can anyone be so sure, as Paul says here, that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Well, again, as we've already heard today, Peter was a man of the corporate realm. And when I first met Peter, we talked quite a lot together about the corporate world. He worked for BASF, the chemical company, and he was a senior sales executive with them. And I'd always worked in management, involved in managing a company for quite some years at that time. And so we talk about the corporate life, what it was like, and share quite a lot about the stresses, which I think were very largely behind his initial turn to alcohol in the first place. But one of the things I remember us chatting about in those early days was something that we'd both been through in our training in the corporate world. And it was this: whether you're in sales or in management, you have to earn the right to be heard. It's a very important thing that you have to learn in any walk of life, really. You have to earn the right to be heard. Nobody's going to listen to you just because you're you. Nobody's going to listen to you just because you stand up and say, "Hear me." You know, why should anybody hear you or me or anybody for that matter? You have to earn the right to be heard. You have to have authority so that you can be trusted, and you have to have understanding so that people will listen. That's really important in sales, isn't it? When you're trying to sell a product to someone, again, it's well attested in the sales realm. People don't buy the product, do they? They buy the person. They buy from the person. And Peter knew that. He knew he had to earn the right to speak and earn the right to be heard. Well, I put it to you this morning. Peter has earned the right to speak about the love of God. And his testimony today in life and in death is that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Because Peter's life tells us this, if it tells us nothing else. If it were possible to be separated from the love of God, then it would have happened to Peter. We could perhaps say that there were more things in Peter's life that threatened his faith and threatened this unfailing love of God than in most people's ordinary life. I've just picked out three. Two of them have been mentioned, one is new. And they all come out in his testimony. Tony's already mentioned his testimony. I do commend that to you. It's on our website, trinitygracechurch.net, and you can read his full testimony in his own words there, so you'll know we're not saying anything that he would not want to say today. The first thing that really should have separated Peter fully and finally from the love of God was his own initial unbelief. His own initial unbelief. If you read that testimony of Peter's on our website, you'll see that when his landlord, Jim Inman, he just lives down the road at 723 Walmsley Road, when Jim first invited him to church, Peter said, "No way. No way. I'm not going." And then Jim invited him again and he said, "No, no, not interested. I'm not going. Not religious, not interested in God." Eventually he agreed to come. Why did he agree to come? Because he wanted to shut Jim up. He wanted to make the objections go away. "I'll go once and then that'll be that. I'll go once and then I can tell Jim, look, I've done what you've asked me to do. Now can we leave it, please?" But for Peter, one visit was enough to grip his heart and he kept on coming. Now, if you had an invitation, a loving invitation for someone to consider their work of salvation, which is what the gospel is, it's a message of salvation, and your initial response is, "No way, not interested, get lost, just get out of my hair," it's not a very promising beginning, is it, to a loving relationship. Imagine a proposal is made by a young man to a young lady, you know, down on one knee and the ring goes up, "Will you marry me?" "Get lost, will you? Just not interested." It's not a very promising beginning. But the Bible teaches us that the love of God is sovereign. That means you can't beat it, even if you try. And maybe there are some here today who would say, "I'm not interested. Not interested. I'm here to remember Peter, but I'm not interested in Peter's faith." Well, that's a dangerous position because that's where he started. So just watch out. God's love is sovereign and he has power to claim hearts for himself. The second thing that got in the way for Peter was, of course, the alcohol addiction. After Peter made that profession of faith and became a Christian, the problem wasn't over. As Rob has said, he descended back into his addiction and it really was desperately serious. I have never seen anybody look so ill, honestly, in all my life, as when Peter was in that hospital. And yet, God kept him. We all believed that we'd lost him. But God brought him back. You see, at that time, Peter was not ready to die. And God knew that he was not ready to die. Because the love of God is not only sovereign, it is also tenacious. And God kept Peter. Because Peter had prayed that he would be able to rekindle that relationship with his daughters. And he sought that more than anything. He loved his girls. He talked about his girls all the time, all the time. It was on his heart all the time. That photo, you're absolutely right, Rob. It was so dear to him. And God gave him those years. God gave him those years. And that's the love of God, you see. It's tenacious. It won't let you go. Even when you mess up. Peter messed up big time. And he was the first to admit it. He was no kind of triumphalist. He didn't make excuses for himself. And yet God's tenacious love never let him go. And the final thing was the cancer, wasn't it? Peter's long battle with cancer. One thing's for sure, if that cancer had come 10 years earlier, he would not have been ready. There would have been no serenity. But in God's kindness, when the cancer came, Peter was ready. I've been involved in many funerals. I've seen a lot of people die I've seen few people die as well as Peter died. Honestly. He was an extraordinary man. The pain, you could see it in his face, the pain that he was in. And yet there was not one word of grumbling. That last visit that I made to him, one of the carers kept saying to him, "Peter, don't just lie here and put up with the pain. Press the button, call out, you know, come and tell us." And I could see she was frustrated that he was just carrying on. And I really believe that was because of the serenity in his heart. What a testimony to God's love. Peter was ready for that final trial. And where did it come from? It came from the assurance that God's love would never fail, because his love is a triumphant love, even in the face of cancer and death itself. So let Peter speak to us. If unbelief, if alcohol addiction and cancer itself could not separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus, doesn't he have the right to speak? Hasn't he earned the right to speak? Shouldn't we hear his legacy, his testimony? Doesn't he have some authority here? And doesn't that legacy cry out and show us that in Christ Jesus, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God? Not our own unbelieving hearts, however resistant we may be. Not our own sinful choices, even our addictions. Not our own fleshly weakness, whether it's cancer or anything else. But you know, as we conclude, there is someone who has an even greater right to speak about the love of God than Peter. And he's called the Lord Jesus Christ. He was tested beyond measure, yet persevered in love. A person who not only triumphed in love, but held on to love, and is now filled with the love of God himself for time and for eternity. He is the very means whereby Peter and any one of us can know the love of God for ourselves. Because the love of God in Christ Jesus is sovereign love. See him as he dies on that cross, that favorite hymn of Peter's we sang at the beginning. When he dies on that cross, he dies in love. He pays the price for sin, even the sin of the criminal that was next to him. So he was able to say to that criminal, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." That's sovereign love. His love is tenacious love. Remember, even as the Lord Jesus went to the cross, his closest follower, Peter, was denying him with oaths and curses. And yet, after he died and rose again, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "Tell Peter to come and see me." And when he saw Peter, what did he say to Peter? He said, "Peter, I love you. I love you." It's a tenacious love. It can't be beaten. And it's a triumphant love. We read at the beginning, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And we sang in that hymn, Peter's hymn, "Death is crushed to death." What a great line that is. The dead here want us, he wants us to know that death is crushed to death in Christ. And what a love that is. The love of the one who has conquered death, risen from the dead, and lives forever. So will you remember Peter's legacy? Will you listen to him? He has the right to speak. And will you listen to Christ, who has conquered death itself, and offers to us this hope, this comfort, this assurance, that there is nothing that can separate the Christian believer from the love of Christ. Amen.